Hi, this is Lisa with your concert billboard for Sunday, November 21st. Tonight at Stella Center, there's a Stonewall Choral AIDS benefit concert. The Frank O'Brien Trio is at Sunny's Place. Lillian X, Annihilator, and Strip Mind are at Webster Hall. Sacred Rites, Souls at Zero, and Crowbar at the Limelight. The Pinballs and New York City's Top Chefs are at the Lone Star Roadhouse. The Wives, Sit and Spin, Glistening, and Cloud William are at Continental. Funk Face, AD, Two Skinny J's, and The Urge are at Wetlands. The Moe's Allison Trio is at Fat Tuesdays. And Jackie Kane and Roy Crowell are at Tavern on the Green. Tomorrow night, November 22nd, Frank Vinola will be at Sunny's Place. On Tuesday, November 23rd, Smashing Pumpkins and Swerve Driver will be at Roseland. Chicago is at the Westbury Music Fair. Herbie Hancock will be at the Blue Note. The Bogmen are at the Limelight. The Vincent Herring Quintet is at the Village Vanguard. And the Louis Belson Quartet are at the Tavern on the Green. On Wednesday, November 24th, Life Out of Balance is at Chennai. Chakra and Among Us are at Wetlands. Bella Fleck and the Flecktones are at Merkin Concert Hall. Ska Voovie, the Ultimate Ska Train, is at Manhattan Center with Special Beats, the Scudlights, Celester, and the Toasters. Mama Tongue will be at Trance. Urban Blight is at the Lone Star Roadhouse. Degeneration, Clowns, and New York Loose are at Grand. And Freddie Johnson is at Maxwell's. On Friday, November 26th, the Blue Oyster Cult, Nazareth, Uriah Heep, and Wishbone will be at Westbury Music Fair. Hot Tuna will be at Irving Plaza. Life Out of Balance is at the Bitter End. From Good Homes and Thanks to Gravity are at Wetlands. The Butthole Surfers and Mighty Mighty Boss Tones will be at Roseland. Rock Against Fur is at the Palladium with PM Dawn, Book of Love, Ultranette, Elvira, Fred Schneider, and Lady Bunny. On Saturday, November 27th, the Lemonheads, Red Cross, and Magnum Pop will be at Roseland. The Machine is at Wetlands. X and Green Apple Quickstep will be at the Grand. Kevin Ayers will be at Maxwell's. And James Cotton is at the Lone Star Roadhouse. For more information, call WUSB at 516-632-6901 or contact the venue. If you're a local band and you'd like your shows announced, write us at WUSB, Student Union Center, SUNY Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. Concert Billboard can be heard weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon to midnight. You're listening to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
Thank you, Lisa. These are our wonderful concert billboard babes. That's it for me tonight. Usually I don't come on after the concert billboard, but holding down the fort for Eric. Hopefully Eric can hold his own. Brain damage is up right after he finished in the hallway. Seems to be a little scuffle. A scuffle out in the hallway. An altercation, if you will. That's why I'm hiding in here. I loathe violence. Whenever I hear violence, I hide. So he threw me a CD to put on. And when he's finished his fighting, he'll come waltzing in. So all you brain damage fans, please hold a second. And brain damage will be right up. Just as quick as you can say, hey, cut that out.
Thank you. morning, Droogs. But enough of that. Thank you, Kevin, for holding down the fort. But enough. It's time to get moving. Brain damage is back.
Thank you.
And a good evening, a good morning, actually, to everybody out there. This is Brain Damage. And, yeah, it's been quite a time, but we've all made it out in one piece. That's the important thing. Important thing is that we've all survived, and hopefully the unpleasantness of the past will be forgotten. That's what I'd like to think, anyway. Those people out in the hallway, they don't think that. But fortunately, they're in the minimum, minority. They're not very many of them. But that's just the way things go sometimes. But we've got all kinds of plans ahead for the future. And, of course, we'll be taking phone calls, lots of them, hopefully, 632-6901, area code 516. This is the first show where we haven't had religion in a while. And I'm happy to say that we're not going to have religion for a while. What do you think of that, Spiny?
Cool beans.
All right. It's no more religion at this radio station. That's just the way it is. Easy come, easy go, you know? Yeah. Well, we do have some repercussions, however. You can't just sort of go into this thing and then get out of it, as easily as we'd like to. But we're going to try. We're going to do the best we can, and with any luck, we'll get out of it, I don't know, at least with a shred of dignity or something.
Yes
like.
And no.
No, we'll do it. We'll do it one way or the other. And I'd appreciate if we could cut the line to that room, because I'm really fed up with Jim. Okay. This is Brain Damage. We're a free-form radio talk show, and that means that we do various things, like talk about what's in the news, what's not in the news, what's going on in our personal lives, what's not going on in our personal lives, what's happening in various places that we don't know anything about, because that's what we're here for. All right, we also have some serious business to clear up, and I guess the sooner we get to that, the better. I guess the best thing to do is recap what's been going on here over the last few weeks. We had a bit of a, what's the word for it? Well, let's just say a misunderstanding with a Christian adventure group. And they kind of convinced us to do something with this radio program that maybe we shouldn't have done. And that was to plunge head first without any airbags or anything into the wall of religion without really looking behind or looking ahead for that matter. This we did for several weeks until last week when the check bounced in. Then we realized that we were being bamboozled. Unfortunate. But, you know, life is filled with mistakes. I understand there's still several we haven't made. So, what can I say? I could say I'm sorry, but that wouldn't really change anything, would it? So I'm not going to. We have a letter that I should read. Again, let me point out that we'll be taking phone calls in the next couple of minutes, but we need to get those lines filled. It's very important that we know that our listeners are flocking back to us, despite the fact that we've fallen from grace and all that kind of thing. We need to know that there are still people out there that, well, maybe care is the wrong word, but people that listen, you know. People that sort of want to see what happens next. So our number is 632-6901, area code 516. A couple open lines. And if we fill those up, we always have more we can open up. Because that's just the way we are. All right, can't really postpone this any longer. We got a letter this week. I think it came in on, was it Wednesday or Thursday? I'm not sure. I wasn't here for the actual arrival of this thing. A letter from the Chancellor. And boy, it's not often that you get a letter like this. I'll tell you. No one at this station has ever gotten a letter from the Chancellor before. And I think, judging from the remarks I've gotten this week, no one wants to get one in the future. So we just read it, and it'll lay things out clearer than I could lay them out myself. And then we'll see how we have to proceed. Fair enough? Okay. To whom it may concern, I would like to address the issue of the radio program. And, you know, I guess you know you're in trouble when a letter like this comes with the words radio program in quotes. We're not off to a good start here. I'd like to address the issue of the quote-unquote radio program called Brain Damage, which has been airing on WUSB from midnight to 2 a.m. on Saturday nights. In a few short weeks, you have managed to insult not only the intelligence of the few listeners who keep tuning into this drivel, but also you have insulted the late Richard Burton, former Vice President Dan Quayle, the entire Christian religion, the entire nation of Islam, Buddhists, Jews, American teenagers, foreign teenagers, male and female listeners above the age of 30, your fellow staff members of WUSB, the station manager of WUSB, the program director of WUSB, the custodial staff of the State University at Stony Brook, bus drivers at the State University at Stony Brook, and the State University at Purchase, Albany, and Buffalo, pet owners, pets, the President of the United States, leaders of most members of the European community, football players, referees, the administration of the State University at Stony Brook, the Federal Communications Commission, Joey Buttafuoco, and in parentheses it says for not mentioning his name once on your program, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Weekly World News, Long Island Newsday, the New York Times, postal workers, and last but not least, telephone operators. I find it difficult to condone such activity, and so I will not, because I am not in a position of doing difficult things. It is my opinion and that of the person typing this letter that WUSB would better serve the community by broadcasting national public radio programs and classical music instead of the filth and blasphemy that has pervaded the airwaves in recent weeks. I must warn you that legal action is being contemplated in the wake of revelations that members of WUSB paid off local ministers in an attempt to keep objections to your newfound religion at a minimum. While this process is underway, you are hereby directed to play only classical music and not to let any more objectionable material go out over the air. I trust I have made my position on this matter clear. Sincerely, Chancellor. And P.S. Do not under any circumstances read this letter over the air. Okay. Put that away. Well, that's the letter as we just got it. Well, we got it Wednesday, or was it Thursday? So now you know pretty much where we stand. And I can't help but notice that the music has been piped in already. So I guess we're under orders, and we have to keep this music playing. The letter didn't say didn't say anything about the piping in the gas. Oh boy. The letter didn't say anything about we have to play the music, but we don't have to not talk. It didn't say anything about that, did it?
No.
No, it didn't say that. So we can still talk. We just have to keep the music playing. That's kind of nice, actually. It's sort of adds to the spirit. What do you think?
Very ambient.
Yeah. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it'll make us be a little bit more sensible.
Are those peanut ones?
Peanut M&M's, yeah. You want some? Okay.
Yeah, they're good. Right. Only one drawback.
Hey, you got a red one. You got a red one. Oh, no.
Get. They're all mine.
Get somebody. You want that one? It fell on the floor. Okay. I knew it was a mistake not mentioning Joey Buttafuoco. You know, I knew that was a mistake. We had a policy of never talking about that, and it seems that we insulted him by not talking about it, because we're the only radio talk show in the world, apparently, that hasn't mentioned that. I didn't know that we insulted postal workers. I didn't know that we insulted the custodial staff. I didn't know about the Albany and Buffalo thing. But apparently we've been busy over the last few weeks. And, that's just the way things happen sometimes.
Very sensitive age we live in.
It certainly is, yes. And we have some very sensitive people out there. But again, I could say I'm sorry, but really, what good would it do, you know? Wouldn't do any good. No. All right, let's take a phone call. Again, our phone number is 632-6901. Let's see what kind of people are out there. Good evening. You're one of them. Hello? How do you like that? They hit a touch tone and hung up. Is that an indication of the kind of people that are out there? Let's try another one.
Try another one.
Good evening. Oh, I get it. We've been targeted. We've been targeted by one of those hang-up crowds, you know?
It's a cult.
People that, yeah, it's a cult. It's like a cult. Okay, look. I see a phone call there, but I'm not picking it up until there's another phone call. All right? So if you're out there and you're hearing this, give us a call, 632-6901, or we're not going to take any more phone calls. How's that? It's called power, you know. It gets to your head sometimes here, but...
That was two strikes. Go for the third.
There's no more phone calls. There's just this person here, and this person's going to hang up again. So I'm going to wait for some more phone calls. Do you realize... That is no phone calls. Do you realize that with this whole religion thing that we fell into, we drove away all the listeners. There are no more listeners to this program. It's like we're starting with a clean slate here. I mean, that's...
Well, isn't that what religion is about, starting with the clean slate?
Well, that's pretty much what we did. We pretty much purged the USB listenership out there, and I guess the...
They have to binge.
Well, the Arbitrons are going to dip below a million, probably, for the first time in a while. Boy, this music really is something. But it's required by law now, and we just have to keep it low a little bit. Right? Yeah, that's fine. 1226. And what?
It was area code 516, right?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, we have a couple of phone calls. Now, even if the person found the multi-line phone or called up a bunch of his friends. I'm not sure which it is, but let's see who's out there. Good evening.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
How you doing? A real person with a voice.
Huh?
A real person with a voice.
You're back this week.
What about it?
Oh, because I...
Oh, yeah, I'm back. Right.
Yeah, because what happened last week with the...
With the check. Yeah, it was unfortunate. You know, it could have happened to anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say I was sorry, but, you know, I mean, it would have happened to anybody else.
Well, like, everything's all cleared away now, what?
I'd like to think that. I mean, this letter from the Chancellor, of course, is kind of, well, it's not exactly a friendly letter, but, you know, I'm sure that we can straighten things out over there.
Yeah, so...
With a little bit of time and understanding, people forgetting about things.
I never heard of anybody insulting people in Albany.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we did that. Perhaps it was implied somehow. Maybe we said something about the Capital District in a disparaging tone. I mean, that does slip out occasionally over the air.
But how do they know that? Like,
well, I don't know. Apparently there's moles and spies and rats and things like that listen to this show and pass it on to the affected parties.
I see.
And, you know, when you live in a world like that, you'll get in trouble for everything.
Yeah, so that, he left, that's all the lists that he
mm-hmm.
said that was going on with the postal workers and the operators and all that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we do play around with operators. There's no question about that.
Confuse the operator.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to deny that one, but I don't think we have confused a postal worker. I mean, I have confused postal workers, but it's been by accident.
Yeah.
I never intended to do that. You know, they just kind of get confused sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I suppose that's probably going to be taken as an insult now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, Eric, I heard that you ran into somebody, I think, last week that listens to USB at the supermarket.
I always run into people.
Okay, because somebody that called told me that they ran into you and you had a friend with you.
Really? Well, I guess that's possible.
Yeah.
I have been known to frequent supermarkets. People do see me there sometimes.
Yeah, he was like, I guess who I saw? I was like, who's like, Eric.
Wow.
Oh, he had a friend. Eric, can I ask you a question?
I did have a friend. Yes, go ahead.
Like, in the future, are you going to do teleconferencing again or what?
I don't know if we're able to do that anymore because, you know, the phone companies are able to restrict things sometimes and make it more difficult for us.
They've done it now?
It's been harder, let's put it that way. You know, you get all kinds of humming and hissing and...
Can you try it?
If we get enough calls later on, I might give it a shot, but we need to bring back the audience.
All right, well, if I call back, I can go on it, right?
Sure, there's no reason why you would be restricted.
And when are you thinking about doing, like an hour?
Oh, maybe. I'm not making any promises. But, you know, if we get a ton of people, then, you know, it's possible.
I get the ball rolling first.
Yeah, I get the ball rolling. Exactly.
I'll call back later on, and then I'll see what you decided.
Okay.
All right?
Fair enough.
I take it easy.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901, area code 516. This is Brain Damage. Good evening.
Good on. What's up?
Not much. How are you?
All righty.
What can I do for you?
I just don't believe that letter at all. It's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, it's something, you know, but people in charge feel compelled to send letters like that sometimes and make people feel...
Oh, no, you misunderstood
me. Make people feel
small. I don't believe that letter was ever sent.
You don't believe it was sent?
No. Chancellor, was it Chancellor SUNY Stony Brook?
Well, you see, after having read the P.S. there, I don't think I should really say any more about the contents, because I probably got myself into even more trouble now.
Come off. He would not write P.S., do not read this over the X. You know, you'd read it over the X.
Well, you see, this is the deal, okay? It was a two-page letter, and apparently, you know, people's secretaries mess things up sometimes. And the P.S.
are writing a postscript.
No, well, the P.S. showed up on page 2 all by itself. Now, I don't think that's my fault because I looked at the letter and I didn't see a P.S. And, of course, there wasn't a second page of the P.S. And, you know, it's I'm sorry. I'll take this one to court because I don't think that was my fault. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean.
I've just been, as a listener, I'm just telling you. I mean, I used to tune in all the time when Matt said brain damage or anything. I've been really confused over the last 3 weeks on what program was going to be on, who was doing it. I tuned in once, and I heard something about rock music being evil. And
yeah.
Was...
Yeah, you know, there were a lot of conflicting messages, but, hey, you know, life can be filled with conflicting messages.
What am I to expect as a listener now? I mean...
Well, right now, of course, we've got the classical problem. I don't know how long we're going to have to deal with this, but for now, at least, it's there in the background. Hopefully, they won't tell us to shut up and keep our voices down.
How often? You can't expect listeners to believe that you've been forced to play classical music. There's no way...
Well, I don't like to use the word force because people don't force me to do anything, but I can be advised to do something for my better interests. And, you know.
Why would you do it?
I'm sorry?
Why would you do it? This is a college station.
Yeah, but, you know, there's other people at stake here. I mean, we've got, we've got other programs here. We've got the blues program. We've got the African beat. We've got the hardcore show. And if this station got turned over to National Public Radio and we had to play classical music all the time, where would those people go? I mean, nobody would let them in the door.
Well,
you know, this is the only place that they could possibly ever find a place to air their particular brand of music. And the rest of the world doesn't care, you know, so I'm thinking about them. I'm thinking about those poor souls, the poor people that play new wave music, you know, and jazz and all these music types that will never go anywhere, you know.
It would never get turned over to NPR. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, NPR doesn't own any stations in Stony Brook, you know, and they're kind of upset by that.
Well, they're not going to own a college radio station that's supported by college funds.
Well, I'll tell you, these people are powerful. These
no,
people are real powerful. They can, they've bought things I didn't think they could buy. They have.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for them. You got to watch out for these big, massive multinational corporations.
No.
You know?
No, I don't know if the other listeners out here are buying this. Well, I mean, I don't mean to insult you. I just don't believe it for a second.
Well,
I've heard other listeners on the air don't buy it either.
I admire your skepticism because that's a sign of a true sophisticated person that knows when to doubt things.
Well, I mean,
but believe me, it's you know, there are some things that are real dangers and you gotta watch out for them. You know, there's a truck heading your way and it's blowing its whistle. I just hope you can hear it.
Oh, come here. I mean, tell me you don't write a newspaper, write a columnist in a newspaper and have them reprint that letter, irregardless of what the repercussions would be. And tell me that the repercussions wouldn't be positive in any way. Like the chancellor of SUNY Stony Brook is going to get away with writing threats down like that?
Well, the thing is, I couldn't send a letter to a newspaper because it was sent to me, and if
it was addressed to
It was addressed to the staff people at Brain Damage, and
how would the chancellor address it to whom it may concern?
Apparently he doesn't know if to send it to me or to Matt or to anybody.
Why would he not?
Maybe
know
he doesn't want to say my name. I don't know what the reason is. Far be it from me to get inside his head. You know, I don't know why he sent it in that particular way, but it was addressed to Brain Damage at WUSB Stony Brook, New York. You know, and that's something that I have to take seriously.
But, I mean, there was nothing said in that letter other than that certain people had been offended.
Well, I mean, we did insult a lot of people. I mean, didn't we insult a lot of people over the past few weeks?
Yeah, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
You enjoyed being insulted? I mean, I guess I didn't insult you then, but you enjoyed us insulting other people?
Oh, the operator bit was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it too, to be honest. But apparently, there's some thin-skinned people out there that don't like being insulted.
I don't know. We just call it skepticism or gullibility. I just don't want to believe it. I guess you'd say.
Yeah, none of us want to believe anything unpleasant. I know.
I was just wondering what the future is going to hold. I guess no one knows though.
Nobody knows. No, that's true. It's a mystery what happens in the future. I don't know if that's why they call it the future, but it's just nobody really knows what's going to happen.
Well, I hope we get the old audience back. You know, get
yeah, you know,
rolling.
I hope so, too. We have some people in the other room that are making some phone calls to try to get them to listen again, you know, because we do know who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're calling them and meeting with mixed success, I believe. You know, we'll see where it goes. But our phone lines are wide open now, 632-6901. If there's anything you can say to encourage people to call in, please say it now.
Oh, yeah, I it's worth giving it a shot, you know, so we can get it back together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were blinded by the light for a little while there. And, you know, if we were still religious, we'd say that we forgive you, but we're not. I mean, first of all, we're asking you to forgive us. We're not forgiving anybody anymore. So we just need people to call in and make this a call-in show again, and hopefully we'll be able to sail on through clear seas or something nice like that.
Yes, I'd like to hear from Vanessa and Samantha tonight very much.
Vanessa and Samantha?
Vanessa and Samantha.
Okay, I wouldn't mind hearing from them either, so if they're out there, you can... Well, do you want them to call you or do you want them to call here?
Call the station. This is Brad. I want to get teleconference rolling again.
Okay. Well, we can't have a teleconference with one person, so
exactly.
We need to have a lot of people there. So 632-6901, lines are gosh, yeah, wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open. As open as open can be.
It's always good.
Yeah. Well, okay, we're going to let you go now.
All right, guys.
So thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, it's good to see that healthy skepticism there, because it does seem kind of hard to believe sometimes. It's like events have almost taken a supernatural turn.
That couldn't be.
Not to be too literal, Jim. Supernatural meaning just sort of strange, okay? I mean, there are strange things in the world, and sometimes you don't know what they are. Doesn't necessarily have to be creatures from outer space or anything like that, but, yeah, that's just the way it is. 632-6901. Here's something interesting. Now, this is something that really gets me here, okay? Gets me, more than just about anything that's happened in the last couple of weeks. And that includes NAFTA. I don't even understand that stuff, but I'm not even going to get into that right now. Here's an article that appeared in, I don't know, one of these newspapers, Newsday, I guess. Yeah, one of the ones we insulted, Long Island Newsday. And this concerns, and this has nothing to do with, bashing the state university or anything like that, because that's not what we're here for. I mean, there's other people here that are for that, but we're here for different reasons. We're here to bash things that we're not going to identify. the article is entitled, 1.4B Sought by SUNY. The B meaning billion. Yeah, $1.4 billion sought by SUNY. State University trustees have requested $1.4 billion for both new construction and rehabilitation of old campus buildings over the next 7 years. The request is similar to one the SUNY board made last year, which was largely ignored by the legislature and Governor Mario Cuomo because it was felt the expenditures were not needed immediately. The action on Tuesday came at the board's regular monthly meeting in Albany. About three-quarters of the new money would go to repair existing buildings between 1994 and the year 2000. Now, they say 70% of the university's physical plant, which means buildings and things like that, is over 20 years old. The condition of some buildings has worsened in recent years during a period of tight state budgets. We have water pails around this place, by the way, catching leaks and roofs and things like that. Now, last year, SUNY trustees asked for authority to issue $1.5 billion in bonds for rehabilitation on new construction. The request followed a September 1992 Cuomo speech in Buffalo, in which the governor said he wanted to increase SUNY's bond funds beyond the $1 billion limit. Actually, I'm going to skip over all this boring number thing and get to the point, the crux of the matter, if you will. This Monday, SUNY trustees added to their 5-year master plan $8 million for a new student union at the College of Old Westbury, and, you ready? $3.6 million for a new football stadium at Stony Brook. Money for both projects is available from existing bonds, but work cannot go ahead without legislative approval. $3.6 million for a football stadium here at Stony Brook. Now, am I the only one that thinks that's crazy? Am I the only one that says this is a university, a place where, you know, people go to take courses and to learn things, and a place that suffered through 12 years of Reagan-Bush, where things were cut. People's financial aid was slashed. Apartments had to let people go. Academic buildings were never built. The only building that got built here was a new gymnasium. And now we want to spend $3.6 million on a football stadium that nobody's going to go to in the first place? Because, newsflash, people out here don't care. They don't care about football. Sorry. But even if they did, this is not a football school. This is not a football area. This is a university, a place where people are supposed to learn things. You know, be prepared for life and all that kind of thing. I mean, I've seen universities down in the South, and the focal point is the football stadium. It's in the middle of the university. And that's what the school exists for. That's where it gets most of its publicity, and most of the students there are involved in football in some way or another. They have football dormitories, football cafeterias, football buses, football courses, in fact. There's courses you can take, and you automatically pass them because you're a football player. That's really how it works, because, you know, you have to pass your courses. So that's what they want to do here. They want to build, first of all, I don't know where they're going to put this football stadium, because they've built just about everything there is to build on all the land. I mean, this new gymnasium took up a lot of space. There's only a couple of fields left and a few trees. I don't know where they're going to put it, on top of, some academic buildings, perhaps. But imagine what $3.6 million could mean to the academic world. I mean, I don't know where these people are coming from, but that's what the SUNY trustees are up to, paying $3.6 million for a football stadium. So I'd like to know what people think about that. If people don't even care enough to comment on it, then that tells me that people don't really care enough about building the thing in the first place. And I'd like to register my strong dissent to something like this. I mean, think of the traffic problems it would cause in the first place, even if people do show up to the thing. That's my feeling on the matter. $3.6 million wasted. Okay. We've got Prokofiev on turntable number one over there with Symphony number one, Opus 25. And, that's what we're doing. We have to play classical music, so we're going to make the best of it. But you can help us by calling us at 632-6901. Getting us through this. Maybe next week we won't have to do this. Maybe we can just go back to a regular show. I'd like to do that. Good evening.
Hey.
How you doing? I'm okay.
I totally agree with you on that football stadium thing.
Oh, good. I'm glad somebody agrees.
It's just ridiculous, like, how many things we need money for and that they're even considering building a football stadium is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I'd like to know where the money came from. They say the money is available. Now, they don't have the money to fix crumbling buildings here on campus. They don't have the money to expand the bus schedule and make livable dormitories.
Ridiculous.
Are you on campus?
I don't. Yeah, I am.
Do you go to school here?
Yeah, I'm a graduate student here.
Now, what kind of housing conditions do you have?
Well, the first couple of years I lived here, I came here. I was in the dorms. I've moved off campus since then. But the housing here is just horrendous.
Uh-huh.
It's just, and the undergraduates have it even worse. I mean, you probably heard, like, at the beginning of the semester, some rooms meant for two people, they were tripling up and stuff like that.
Right. Well, those buildings are just falling apart. They have asbestos in them, and no cooking facilities for those people that choose not to, go to the local Burger King or whatever meal plan offers these days.
Yeah, exactly. And for graduate students, there's no decent housing. I mean, you've got, like, the Chapin apartments, which are in terrible condition.
Mm-hmm.
Just terrible.
Yeah.
And even within the academic departments, they're all, like, crying out for money just to buy, like, basic things so they can function. And the administration is telling them, oh, we don't have it.
Uh-huh.
I don't really understand what people are thinking.
Well, you think the problems that you guys are suffering could, I don't think $3.6 million would really help you that much, would it?
Are you kidding?
Okay, I'm asking a question, but I guess maybe it would help in some small way.
I think more than a small way. I mean, it's...
Well, now, where do you think they're going to put this stadium? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't even want to contemplate what such a project is going to do to this university. I have no idea where they would put it.
I mean, no, the field house was one thing. They built this new gymnasium here, and at the time when they were building it, it took them a while to build it, it just seemed like everything else was hurting. Everything else was being cut back. And it was just kind of strange to suddenly put up this thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's... built on. But,
yeah, but it mostly...
I don't really know what be... In terms of, like, what's good access for students, I don't think there's any good location.
Well, I mean, it mostly has trees on it. It's like there's a wildlife preserve.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess maybe that's one of the places they'd think of putting
it. Right. That probably doesn't have a huge priority.
There's a couple of academic buildings, I guess, that could be wiped away, like this football stadium.
Down a physics building.
But the worst thing is, though, that it's putting emphasis, I think, on the wrong things, because, I mean, this is a university. This is a place where people go to expand their minds.
Exactly. No one comes here for
not
sports.
Not their muscles.
Really.
Not yet.
Certainly not to watch sports.
Not yet, but I have a feeling that that's what SUNY, for some reason, wants to do. They want to make this into a sports school, much the same way that years ago, and this is true, years ago, there were no fraternities, no sororities on this campus. Now, all of a sudden, they're everywhere. Now, that's something that that students didn't really want years ago, but administration kind of pushed it on them because it's a good way to expend all that energy into something totally useless.
Yeah, I mean, I think their motivation for doing it is not all bad. I mean, it can add a lot in terms of financial gain if it kind of was popular. It can kind of improve the... can give the university more exposure and stuff like that, but the reality of it is, it's not. I don't think it's going to do any of those things.
Yeah, and what are we going to do with this stadium in the middle of a university that doesn't work out if it doesn't work out?
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
so
it's scary.
Anyhow, I think it's a bad idea. I agree with you.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and we'll see what other people think. Thanks for calling.
Take it easy.
Okay. 632-6901, area code 516. That's our telephone number, and we're talking about. Building a football stadium on campus. But we could be talking about other things as well. I guess, you know, we could even talk about Joy Buttafuoco if we have to. Only because we don't want to avoid things like that. Obviously, there's news items out there that need to be addressed. And if we don't address them, I guess everybody else will. Yeah. And we also have some news that we're working on in the other room. And... some more classical music that we have to play. And other things as well. 632-6901. Where is everybody? What's going on out here? Is there something good on TV tonight? Maybe Chancellor's letter really scared people away. Look, I'm going to make something clear. All the legal action, all the things that are going to happen that are bad, are going to happen to us here. Okay, they're not going to affect people listening. There's no way, at least no way that I know of, that they can find out what you're listening to, you know? You can't get in trouble for listening. Oh, I see. People think they might get in trouble for calling. Yeah, because they do monitor the phones, and they might be able to figure out who's calling and trace it back to you that way. Yeah, that is a problem. Good point. Run out to a payphone and make the call from there. I know it's a windy night. I know it's kind of cold, but... you know, if it really means something to you, I don't think that's much to ask. 632-6901, area code 516. It's 12:48 on a Saturday night, 2 degrees Celsius. And that's 36 on the Fahrenheit scale. Oh, boy. All right. We're going to take a short break while I catch my breath. And you may call us while we're fixing things around here. Here at WUSB, Stony Brook,
632-6901. What's wrong, Prof?
Oh, nothing.
Right. A few seconds away from airtime, and you look like your best friend just died. Nothing's wrong.
I just can't get used to it. I've been doing this show for over a month, and I still feel like I'm somebody else.
Oh, come on, Prof. I know you're not real comfortable with the format, but think of how many more people you reach on WTWP than you did on that university station.
She's right, Prof.
Yeah, but...
No, really, how big an audience did that program of yours actually have? One?
Oh, come on. My dad listened too.
But isn't your bottom line classical music? and spreading it around to as many people as possible, WTWP can be heard in at least 3 counties.
That's a lot of market.
I'm not
Whereas
sure.
Whereas the range of that university station was what?
We're talking yards here.
I know. I just feel like I'm betraying all those years I spent training as a musicologist.
Oh, but you're not. You're just being an entertainer as well as a scholar.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, things like how Jocko treats the people who call in.
They love it, Prof. It's part of the shtick. That's the most popular bit on the whole show. If they didn't love it, they wouldn't call in.
Look at it this way, Prof. You're lucky to be at a station that plays classical music at all. I mean, the way things are going, I mean, you could be on
Whip, some... whip, whip! Conversation's over, kids. Here we go.
Oh, who's doing the ID?
It's mine. This is WTWP, the voice of the Turtle Mountains.
I'm sorry about that. We seem to be having some signal problems now. On top of everything else, we were off the air for a minute, and now we're back on the air. For some reason, there's a station out there battling us. This has never happened before. Their signal is crossing our signal and getting a bit overpowering at times. But we are still here, and we're trying to take phone calls, 632-6901. And I know that we have a full switchboard here. So let's get right to it.
Well, hello there. Top of the evening to you, and welcome to The Last Gasp. One final, solid, and shining hour, more or less, of music, info, and good old friendly chit-chat.
I'm Jocko.
I'm Blondie.
And I'm Professor Pete, and you, you lucky devil, you are listening to WTWP, wall-to-wall Popplebell.
That's right, classical music like you like it.
Not too long.
Are we back? It's going on here. This is, I'm sorry. This is a bit of a bother here. Okay, we've got our technicians working on this, so I'm sorry for all the people calling in. Good evening. Hello. Okay. Okay, now we're having trouble with the phones. Good evening. Is anybody there? Okay. Good evening.
Not too loud, not too anything.
And tonight we've got a very special treat in store for you here on The Last Gasp, because today is a very special day. Now, okay, my wise and learned colleagues here, do you know why today is so special?
Wait a minute. Don't tell me. Your car started.
No, that's not it. Very funny. It did start, as a matter of fact, but that's not what makes today special. What makes today special is that this is the 184th anniversary of the death of P.D. Kubach.
The death of P.D. Kubach. Now, that's worth celebrating.
Yeah, but how could they tell?
I hope we're talking about a permanent thing here, death-wise. I mean, he wasn't a Hindu or anything, was he?
So we're going to be featuring the music of P.D. Kubach on the program tonight. We'll be doing a whole slew of pieces by the infamous mini-meister of Weinam Rhein.
We'll be piling it on with a shovel.
But I don't want our regular listeners to be alarmed here, so let's just make one thing perfectly clear.
So even checkers can understand.
Let's assure everybody out there that this does not mean that WTWP is abandoning its policy of playing the entire works of Johann Pachelbel every week.
That's right, not to worry. It's only Sunday, and we've already played 4 of the 13 Magnificats, both of the Latin motets and all but one of the German ones, 3 of the toccatas, 2 of the preludes, all of the fantasias. Okay, all right, all of the completed fantasias.
Thank you.
The Mass in D and half of the Magnificat fugues for organ. We'll be doing the other 47 of those first thing on Friday morning. We're in good shape.
So how's about a little music already?
Yeah, how about that?
It's an idea whose time has come.
So, let's get things rolling here with a little sextet.
Ooh!
Hey, you guys, send me a telegram when you grow up.
Ooh.
This is a work for brass sextet entitled Canzon per sonar a sei, count them sei.
Hey, prof, you want to translate that? You know, some of us around here ain't exactly bilingual.
Some of us around here ain't exactly lingual. But for you, Jocko, hey, anything for a friend. In English, that's instrumental piece for 6, equally 6 players.
By P.D. Kubach.
Coming at you.
EWP.
boosted to 120. Oh, okay, we're back. Yes, hi, this is WUSB in Stony Brook. Not the other station. I don't know if everybody else is getting as loud and clear as we are, but it's pretty embarrassing when in your own studio you can't get your own radio station. But that's just the way it goes sometimes, I guess. okay, 632-6901. It's our telephone number, area code 516. We're here, brain damage on the air, Saturday morning. Saturday night, Sunday morning. Right, that's where we, who we are, that's where we are, and yeah, we want to hear from you as far as what's going on. Oh, right, I'm sorry, classical music. Thank you, thanks for reminding me. We have some news from Connecticut, because we serve Connecticut, among other places, and we're going to get to that. We're also going to get to the phone calls. Should we get to the phone call now? I don't know. Shall we? Okay, why not? Let's see who's out there. Good evening?
Yes.
Hi.
USB?
Yes, for the moment it is.
Okay. I'm a new member. I've been listening to the program for the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
For a while, and I was a bit confused.
Yeah, well, we would apologize if it would make any difference, but, it wouldn't, would it?
No.
No, I didn't think so. That's why it'd be a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, I'm an alumnus of the university, and I just wanted to comment on the stadium being built.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a really bad idea. I mean, I transferred here from a football school in the South, Clemson University. And
Clemson?
That's all they
built
on.
Clemson, South Carolina?
Yeah, it's in South Carolina.
That's the school I went to that I got my example from. That's quite a coincidence. Yeah, the stadium is right smack in the middle of the... What is their symbol? The Bears or something?
Yeah, the Wildcat. I don't even remember. The Tigers.
Tigers, that's it. Yeah, and you walk down the street of the town, there's Tigers painted on the
right,
ground.
Right, Tiger Paws.
Yeah.
On the street.
Yeah, that's what it is. Wow, that's a scary place. And you know, if you try to spy on the football team when they're practicing, you get beaten up.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you do.
Never do that.
It's like a trade secret. It's like, you know, spying on the Soviets or something.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, their stadium holds 80,000 people. It holds more people during a football game than the whole town combined.
Yeah, imagine a peaceful university every Saturday being taken over by 80,000 people from outside the university. It's kind of...
It's ridiculous.
I mean,
that's their focus, was football.
And am I right about the football dormitories? They have football dormitories, right?
Yeah, football dormitories. They have the big houses for the football players. And I mean, that's all they do.
And then they have dormitories for the students. I think the walls are built out of paper or something.
Yeah. That's Johnstone Hall.
Yeah.
Paper thin walls.
Boy, that's exactly what it is. I'm glad you went there, because that's exactly what I was talking about. So do you think something like that could happen here at Stony Brook?
Well, I don't know. I've been keeping up with the so-called master plan in the university, and you mentioned something about you didn't know where the stadium was going to be built, but I have here that it says the facility will be, I guess, put on the grounds of where the track field is now.
Well, where's the track field going to go?
Well, I don't know. I guess they're going to dig somewhere else and put a track field there.
And where's people going to park for this?
Well, I have a little something on it. It says a 12,000 spectator stadium. This facility accommodates the university's expanding outdoor athletic programs. It provides locker facilities, restrooms, concessions, and illuminated playing surface, all within a secured facility. The stadium is sited in the vicinity of the existing track in order to limit the removal of mature trees. Put in close proximity to the other recreational facilities. Mm-hmm. Utilize the 4,000 parking spaces available within the core. I don't know where they got that from. And minimize any disruptive impact on area residents. I don't know about that either. The edge of the stadium will define a new path into the university from the raised crossing at the train station. That's basically what I have on that.
That's Spiny has a question. What?
Yeah, where are you reading this from?
This is from the June 1991 Master Plan Report from State University of New York at Stony Brook.
1991?
Yeah, it's a very well-defined 20-year master plan for the university.
Is there anything else on there that might be interesting?
Well, you also mentioned, I think, people from Albany mentioning about allocating monies to different facilities and building and new construction and things like that. I mean, I know in News 8 they only mention the stadium, but they do have plans for, like, a new molecular biology facility, which will be built within the next couple of years, and the money that was allocated for new construction to the dormitories, and which is already in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, they fail to mention the more important things.
Well, now, do these things have more funds allocated to them? Is the stadium the largest, or?
No, by all means, I don't think so. I mean, $3.6 million for a stadium is not a lot of money for a facility like that.
Uh-huh.
It only holds 12,000 seats or spectators, but no, I don't think that's the most that they allocated for.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I'd like to get a copy of that. How'd you get your copy?
Well, they do have a copy in the reference section of the university library, and I got my copy from other sources.
Okay, fair enough. But you still don't think it's a good idea. Why is it you don't think it's a good idea?
Well, one of the reasons why I transferred from Clemson to this school was to get away from that whole concentration on providing people with entertainment for football. And I wanted to concentrate more on academics. And when I looked at the school, I mean, that's basically what spelled out for me.
Uh-huh. So in a place like Clemson, did football overshadow?
Oh, definitely. I mean, on the weekends, that's all they did was they went to football parties, and
mm-hmm.
there was no place for like people like me who really was into academics. There was really no place for me to go.
Now, I'm not sure what you mean by that. There's no place for you to go. You mean they closed the libraries?
Well, yeah, the libraries were closed. There were no activities going on other than football-related activities. Like, you know, they didn't have a lot of clubs and activities that Stony Brook has.
Uh-huh.
Other clubs and activities that didn't pertain to football. So basically, if you weren't in the football crowd, you were an outsider.
Sounds like an invasion from outer space, you know? They come slowly and start taking over everybody's minds.
Yeah.
Before you know it, there's no escape. And that could happen here at Stony Brook. But, you know, they had homecoming here on October 30th, and it rained like the dickens.
Oh, it rains every homecoming
here. I think that should be taken as a symbol.
Yeah,
not that I'm pushing this religion or anything like that, but I'm just saying, it's just something to consider, that all this rain coming down on people, maybe it's not, like, you know, they have this thing called Fall Fest, which I think has rained like for the last 12 years in a row or something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they take a hint from that. That's not a good idea.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I mean, Stony Brook in particular, it's a state university. Is Clemson a state university?
Yeah, it's a state university.
Well, things are run differently down there for some reason because it has those old buildings and everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's only two state, well, there's more than two. I guess there's about five, but there's only two major state universities in
mm-hmm.
that. In the state of South Carolina, so they have a lot of money to give to those schools, whereas Stony Brook is a part of a larger community.
Right. Well,
schools within the state.
So, you know, the thing is, what's going to happen over the next couple of years, though, if this thing is built, it's going to we're going to be trying to lure football players rather than good students.
Yeah, I think that's the wrong direction for the university.
Right.
I mean, I know they're trying so much to improve undergraduate, the undergraduate life here.
I know Dana Kruger.
The football state, the direction toward Division One in football is the wrong direction.
Uh-huh. I agree. I totally agree. Do you think it's going to happen?
I think it's going to happen. I mean, just from the talk of hearing the administration talk about it, and the push is very strong there to go Division One, and they're recruiting coaches and things like that.
It's just, you know, the money is what gets me. Like $3.6 million.
Yeah.
What that could do for all these other projects.
Right, exactly.
And I just keep hearing about how we don't have the money to do this, we don't have the money to keep, you know, lights on, we don't have the money to keep places open.
Right.
It's, you know, it's sad. Let's get a 24-hour student union. Let's get decent dormitories. Let's get, you know, strong academic departments. And then maybe we can think about football.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
All right.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a, you know, a sore sport or something like that. No pun intended, but it just seems like the priorities are a bit askew here.
That's true, Mr. Ways.
You agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, then big that's, time. You know what that means? That means four votes against the football stadium.
Oh, do we get a chance to vote?
Well, no, I'm not saying we're actually voting. Maybe, you know, this will be taken as some kind of binding vote. But, no, I mean, you know, we seem to be in agreement. Nobody's really, you know, saying that football stadium is a good idea.
Okay, you want me to do anything before I leave? I'm doing that reception check like you wanted.
Reception check.
You wanted me to drive out to Montauk and see if we're being received well.
Oh, can you do that, please?
Yes.
Just, you know, take a couple of minutes and go out there and just see if you know, how the reception is.
There's a payphone next to the lighthouse. I'll call you from there?
Yeah. That payphone's still... I thought that fell into the sea, but I guess, sorry, it's still there?
Yeah.
Well,
I call you on 6901?
Yeah, you might as well, because no one else is. No, I'm only kidding. Here's a call. Good evening.
Hi there, guys.
How are you?
I heard you talking about, like, building a football stadium and et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just wanted to mention that, you know, I really don't like football. And I think there's far better sports that if we actually had the money to allocate to, we should, rather than a really lame old football stadium that nobody would go to anyway.
So you think we should allocate the money to a different sport instead?
No, I think that the academic programs and the residence halls are, you know, really should take precedence, although I believe there's other sports that would also take precedence over football, but, you know, second to the residence programs and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And I think another way that this university is really, really messed up is, like, it's over-devoted to commuter students. I mean, 52% of the school is commuters, and they cater to anything and everything that they want. They give them their own little space, you know, their own little happy area, their own snack bar, but residents just get the short end of the stick. And, you know, we have to live here in this basic shithole and get nothing.
Living in squalor, in other words.
And have to pay for it, yeah.
Well, you know, it's been a long-standing complaint of resident students that living conditions aren't suitable for various purposes. I don't see this as really going a long way towards solving that.
Yeah, I see. No hope in football.
Are you a student? You know, are you a student here?
And,
or
I don't know. Maybe the university has some strange idea that if they build a stadium, the whole university will be better for it. But I sincerely doubt it.
Are you a student here, a grad student, something?
I'm a freshman, as a matter of fact.
Really? Okay, so you're against the football stadium too, then?
Big time.
You know, it would be nice if they asked people here what they thought about this. They might be surprised.
Yeah.
Instead of just building things and letting us know after they start building them.
I don't know.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
All right, yeah, thank you.
Okay, so that's a random sampling of people here at Stony Brook. You know?
Seems to be pointing...
You're against it, I'm against it. What was that, three callers against it, or four? I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I do.
What's that?
Let's subvert any kind of construction possible on it. That's what I say.
You want to lie down in front of the bulldozers?
Yeah. Well, no, pay someone else to do it.
Well, protect the track field or whatever. It's not the field so much. Okay, maybe they can stick a stadium out there without anybody really noticing, you know, a difference. It seems like kind of a waste as far as all these nice green fields goes. But, I mean, it's just $3.6 million. Sounds like a lot of money to me.
Oh, it is a lot.
Yeah.
I had a couple of other beefs about the campus.
You want to get them off your chest?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
It's they've been, like, hacking away at the trees, especially along that walkway where they, you know, from the railroad station to the union.
Well, what, for no particular reason?
Seems like it. There used to be a nice little walkway there where you were protected from the wind.
Uh-huh.
Now it's just openness.
Really?
Hmm.
And there's no reason for this?
Not that I see, unless they're making way for that football stadium thingy.
Well, I hardly see how they could begin construction on this since it hasn't been approved by anybody, but...
Well, look at Shoreham.
Well, yeah, that's true. Imagine if they wanted to build a nuclear power plant here on campus. You know, we probably wouldn't find out about that till it was finished.
You know they were going to put one on Riverhead? Did you hear that record I played?
They were going to put one in Lloyd Harbor, and they were going to put one in Shoreham, and they were also going to put one next to Manhattan. You know, the smokestacks on the Queensboro Bridge? That was going to be a nuclear power plant.
Nice spot.
I mean, they don't have to, you know, evacuate too many people from that particular 10-mile radius, do we?
Mm-mm.
But, yeah, foresight is such a nice thing.
My other beef was the corporatization of the campus.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have Burger King now on campus.
Now, that's something else. An entire cafeteria, what used to be known as the Roth cafeteria, is now the Burger King cafeteria. And you have to wonder about that because, you know, it's first of all of the campuses that have fast food, they have lots of fast food. They don't just have one. They have, you know, like maybe five or six, and you can choose from them. Here we've given it over to one fast food place, which is kind of strange in itself. But second of all, it's not like there's any real food being served here. It's junk food, and that's what most people are going for.
Mm.
And I'm sorry, junk food just is not enough. You need better things than that, and the university is a good setting to. There used to be this great place in what's known as the it's now the Roosevelt Quad. It used to be known as Stage 12. This great place called Harkness, which was a vegetarian co-op, and people would share all kinds of resources. Different people would cook every night, and you get like maybe 50, 60 people in there every night having dinner. And it was really, you know, really interesting people and diverse food and things like that. Today, it's so difficult to do that. Cooking facilities aren't really given over to students. Students aren't encouraged to do things on their own. They have to go through corporate entities, whether it be the food service or Burger King. And it's sad, you know. It's sad to see this environment of learning just sort of being stunted. Yeah.
Did they close down the Rainy Night House?
They did, huh?
Yeah, that's gone. And there was talk. I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe someone else does. Maybe that guy with that little proposal thing.
Yeah.
That they're putting a Taco Bell in there. That's just a rumor, though, so don't go.
Taco Bell to replace the Rain. The Rainy Night House, by the way, was one of the best coffee houses around.
Uh-huh.
And, in fact, there used to be, on this campus, I feel like an old-timer here, but there used to be not only bars in every single dormitory.
Right.
And, you know, people did survive. Just to make it clear that wasn't the evil period where everybody was you know, getting drunk and having drugs.
The Animal
like
House.
No, it was, you know, it was okay. It was not that, I mean, it wasn't great. We didn't have, a lot of intellectuals walking around, but, you know, you can have bars on campus without mayhem erupting. And there are things like the Benedict Saloon, the Baby Joey's, I think, was another one, the Whitman Pub.
GSO?
Yeah, yeah. Sanger Wine and Cheese. All kinds of neat places, and every building would have its own environment. And you go around and you kind of, you know, meet different people, see different pinball machines and things, because they had pinball machines back then. Now, today, you don't have that. You don't have coffee houses like the Rainy Night House. Rainy Night House
used to serve beer. They had poetry readings.
Poetry readings, piano playing.
Live bands, campus bands.
All kinds of
student
nice
bands in there all the time.
Right. And now there's nothing. Now there's nothing. You know what there is? There's this bar here called the End of the Bridge that everybody goes to and gets screaming drunk and vandalizes and throws things around. And it's really loud, really noisy, really obnoxious. And that's it. That's the only place there is. There's no alternative.
Or if you go stumbling across the 25A over there,
uh-huh,
then you can go to those corporate bars over there.
Yeah, the corporate bars. But the thing is, you know, the nice small places where you could hang out, have a beer, because, you know, having a beer is not necessarily an evil thing. It's kind
social.
Of like, it's a social thing. Problem, you know, here in America is that we tend, when we have beers, to just try and get drunk and nothing else. Other parts of the world, it's just, you know, the thing to do when you're talking to somebody. You just have a beer while you're talking to somebody.
And no one does that anymore. No one talks to anyone. There's no places to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Rainy Night House was a place where you sat down at a table. You asked, is anyone sitting here? Can I sit down too? Hey, what are you
right,
up to? I
right.
noticed you're reading that book.
Exactly.
You don't do that no more. No one wants to talk to anyone because the campus is discouraging socialization.
I remember there used to be talent shows in the Rainy Night House. Really, really nice talent shows where you hear all different kinds of people singing and reading poetry and telling stories and things like that. I don't understand why they shut it down. It wasn't even serving alcohol anymore. It had been reduced to a shell of its former self, but it was at least something, you know. Downstairs in the Union, there used to be record store. There used to be Rainy Night House, an ice cream shop, a place you could get condoms. Of course, you can't get that anywhere on campus either. all kinds of interesting things that a university is supposed to be made up of. Now we got what? Burger King and Taco Bell. That's great.
Well, possibly Taco Bell. I propose they should go further with the corporatizing.
Right.
Why not give the music library to Sam Goody?
There you go.
There you go. And maybe why not give the art department to Pearl Paints?
Well, now, with someone like you, saying things like this, is obvious you're on the wrong side of the street. You should cross the street and go to the administration building
and figure out
all this.
You can have all the journalism classes taught by Newsday.
You can pay them.
I think that's a lot closer to the truth than you'd want to believe. But, yeah, it's sad. Things have changed here in a bad way. And I feel weird for having seen it the way it used to be. And you know, it's strange how people seem to think that was mayhem. That wasn't mayhem. You had every week there'd be something going on. I remember they would have a demonstration of Iranian students outside the union, you know, like 100 of them, demonstrating against the Shah of Iran. You know, this was before the Ayatollah came in. And it was, you know, it was politically charged. And you didn't have to agree with everybody, but it was interesting. It was really interesting watching this go on. And now what do you have? You know, you got people painting rocks and saying that's clever. I don't mean the rock on Nichols Road, because that's been painted since the 1960s. I don't quite know how they do that. But there's these rocks that are just painted a particular fraternity symbol, and that's it. You know, you don't do anything.
That's the radical thing to do.
That's the radical thing. That's what everybody goes out and does, and they think they're doing something ecology. I mean, you know Animal House, right? You know how the respectable people at Animal House in the college act. Well, that's how we're being taught to act now, like all those, you know, preppy types. And that was the early 60s?
Mm.
Yeah, so it's a throwback. We need more activism, more, you know, radical thought, but also more diverse thought and diversity of all sorts. And, you know, it's not going to be given to you. You got to go and grab it and make it yourself.
Like they said, if this was back in the 60s, we wouldn't be paying for the buses. That would never have happened.
The buses were free. Buses were totally free. There were more buses, a lot more buses than there are now, and they were free. Now, this $3.6 million, maybe it could go into the buses again so that people don't have to pay. What is it? They have to pay a quarter now?
Yeah, no, 50 cents.
50 cents to get from one side of the campus to the other?
Pretty sure. And I heard
For $1.25, I can get from the Bronx to Rockaway Beach. And I can go back as many times as I want.
I heard another old-timer saying, my God.
No, I'm not an old-timer, damn it.
I just said I heard an old-timer.
Years ago.
Well, I'm meaning someone who graduated during the 70s or whatever.
I graduated during the 80s.
Whatever. Let me finish the sentence.
All right.
They said if I was still on the campus, we would never have let that happen.
Well, the fact of the matter is...
Or taking away all the bars.
The fact of the matter is, when I was on this campus, there were all kinds of you know, strong-minded people that didn't allow certain things to happen, such as a parking fee. There were student strikes rather than allow students to be charged for the privilege of not finding a parking space. But now, of course, that just sailed through. There were also demonstrations against a mandatory meal plan, you know, which tells you that you have to pretty much, if you live in a particular building, you have to, you know, eat the garbage that they charge you for. And it's really incredible the way they make logic for this kind of thing. I think what they recently did was they have, I might have the numbers wrong, but I think you pay for $600 worth of food or something like that. Now, in the last year, they raised the price $100 to $700, but you still got $600 worth of food. And this is how they explained it. They said, you know, while we're raising the price $100, we're not raising the amount of food you can get for $100. So you're still getting $600 worth of food, but you're paying $700 for it. Go figure. But that's the kind of logic that people are forced to deal with here day after day. And, you know, also back in those days, lots of people cooked for themselves. They had their own ovens. They had, you know, their own social lives going on. Now everyone has to, not everyone, but in most places on campus, people have to abide by the rules and go to the cafeteria. And it's like a high school. It's pretty sad, if you ask me. Okay, we got some phone calls. You want to take them?
Certainly.
All right. Good evening. You're on.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a university student of the 60s.
Oh, good.
Kind of discouraging to hear what's going on right now. This is just kind of a message to your listeners. A university is supposed to exist for its students, and an Orwellian administration is only going to destroy the true basis of education, which should welcome and encourage controversy.
Absolutely.
And the only thing that can be gained by student silence and inactivism is complete and utter submission.
Uh-huh. I couldn't agree more. And I
think something better happen fast.
Well, any suggestions to people out there that might want to do something but don't know what to do?
I think the students should organize and, you know, tell the administration where it's at.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If they are willing to, you know, put their rights on the line.
Yeah. I mean, the student government here has always had a history of kind of, having trouble getting out of neutral, but...
being ineffective.
Yeah, but, once they do, they can get a lot done.
Well, I think it's time.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
It's been time. The time has come. And it's just too bad what's happening to your program.
You say that you're a student from the 60s.
Right, mid and late 60s.
Uh-huh.
Right, a university student, not Stony Brook.
Oh, not Stony Brook, okay.
Oh, not Stony Brook.
Okay, but a lot of universities were going through some crazy times back then, I understand.
Yeah, but it was a very lively and a spiritual time.
Yeah, and it's probably changed your entire life, right?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I think I'm still the same way that I was then.
You have to wonder, in 20 years, what are the people that are going here now? How are their lives going to be affected by the blandness and the restrictions that they're being faced with today?
And it's not just their lives, but the lives of the whole country.
Uh-huh.
Because they are supposedly going to be the leaders.
Oh, boy, I think I'm going to do a lot of traveling in the years ahead.
You know, if they're just going to be sheep.
Yeah.
I think there's a Spanish story that many students should read. It's called The Sheep Well. I can't think of the author right now, but it would be very interesting.
The Sheep Well?
Yes, The Sheep Well.
Okay. Well, I'll recommend it.
Okay.
It. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I didn't ask her, but I assume she's against the football stadium, too. Just strikes me that she probably would be. 632-6901. Anybody else out there? Good evening.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
How you doing?
That was your first call. I disagree, too, with that football stadium.
Boy, it seems to be a unanimous vote here.
I think, too, because of the money, because I think they could be using that money for other, other things. Like you said, deteriorating buildings.
Yeah, that's true. And phone systems with static on it and things like that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Absolutely. There's all kinds of things that... how about a power increase for the radio station, huh? There you go.
What's that antenna? I thought you guys were going up in Baltimore.
Well, okay, the only thing holding that up is the fact that the top of the antenna, the top of the tower, is still sitting on the ground.
Why?
And because they're trying to get town approval to put it up there. And once that comes, we're on there.
How long does that take?
It should have been done by now, let's put it that way. But, that's something else. The people of the community here in Suffolk County have, in effect, paid for this radio station to increase the signal strength.
Uh-huh.
And, if... that was, I guess, maybe $100,000 or so.
Because sometimes, I'll put it on, sometimes it'll come staticky.
Yeah.
And then other times it'll come clear, tonight you're clear.
Yeah.
But then there's, other times, you're, in between, a reggae station or something else like that.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of bizarre stations floating around, and, occasionally they take us over.
Yeah.
But that's just the nature of radio, I guess.
Correct.
But hopefully in the next couple of years, we'll see some changes.
I think that money could be used for something else, contributing to the university, but in a different way.
I agree. I agree totally.
Kirk.
Yes.
Just think about what I asked you before.
About teleconference. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, considering it's already into your second hour.
Yes, that's true, but there aren't enough calls to justify it right now.
Put me on hold?
There's only one other call.
Can you put me on hold?
I can put you on hold.
That other person are.
Okay, I'll put you on hold over here on the purple line.
Don't forget.
I won't forget, but we have to get at least four more calls.
Yeah, but put the person on that comes on, too.
Okay, if they ask, I will do that.
All right.
Hold on. Okay, he's over there on the purple line. Looking, see him flashing over there? There he is.
That's pretty.
Yeah. Now, Purple Line actually is very high up on the line list there, so he's up elevated there. Okay, let's take another phone call. Good evening.
Yeah, hi. I have a comment regarding the woman who called before, who said she was a student in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, she mentioned that that she was upset that a lot of people were more active, they didn't. And you guys mentioned it as well that if there were a parking fee established, that most of the students would be up in arms about it. Most of the students today, it's not that we're lackadaisical or that we just don't, give a damn about it, but the economy and times are a lot tougher now. And regardless of academic, requirements, half the kids that are out there are, either busting their ass to,
mm-hmm.
Keep their credit load the same or maybe, maintain a job. And we just don't have the time to get out and make a demonstration, this, that, or the next thing. We're too busy, either studying, working, or just trying to eat or sleep to do all this stuff. We're not lackadaisical in the least bit. We just, a lot of people that I talk to think we have it tougher than the last two decades have had it ahead of us.
Well, now, think about that for a second, though. Think about how if we know that by making things as difficult as possible, people won't cause any trouble. Well, maybe just like in 1984, things will always be at a level where it's very uncomfortable to survive, so that people are kept in their place and that they don't cause any kind of trouble and start demanding things that they are entitled to.
Well, that's true. But regardless of that, I mean, if that's the situation, that's what's going on right now. I mean, the only chance we're really going to have a chance to change anything is when we get out. I mean, the last time I really remember any severe demonstration on campus was, 90, spring of 90, which was when they made an $800 increase in the students' tuition. And we all went in and basically took over the administration.
Actually, there was a Haitian demonstration, too.
The HSO, too.
Right. And that, now, look at that. That was something involving the blood drive. And they wound up making a very good point, and they wound up winning their point. The rule was overturned that said Haitians weren't allowed to donate blood.
Good point, but they also hurt a lot of people on Long Island as well.
Well, I mean, sometimes you have to, in order to make a point, you've got to be kind of nasty because nobody else was listening. I understand what you're saying, but...
Nasty, but true. But a friend of mine was waiting for a blood donation, which they weren't able to receive. They got it eventually, but it was postponed because of that. That's just a sore spot with me personally.
Yeah, I understand.
But that entire demonstration, I tried to give blood that day, and I wasn't allowed because of the demonstration. I thought that there could have been a better way to do that. I mean, basically, people's lives are on the line. I understand that their point was that they had the Haitian Student Organization had a very valid point to make there.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think they could have chosen a better way to do it than to put people's lives in jeopardy. And one of my friends who was waiting on a blood, donation, couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, she had to wait until a friend of hers actually gave his blood directly to her, for her to get the donation. So,
I think a lot of it stems from misperceptions about giving blood. I mean, there's still people out there that think you can get AIDS from giving blood, which is something that has to be dispelled. So, rather than make all these rules as to who's allowed to give blood and who isn't, I think we should be focusing some attention on just, what is. It's hard to dispel the myths when the people in charge are subscribing to one of the greatest myths at all, mainly that a race of people is dangerous as far as contaminating the blood supply.
I would agree to that also, especially, considering the fact that there's a lot of scandals going on right now as to whether they were giving tainted blood in the first place and exactly how precise their methods are of testing blood for, whether it's HIV positive or not.
Uh-huh.
Was that I think that we've got, regardless of who's making it tougher, I mean, we're in this institution for 4 years. Well, some of us
longer, yes.
I've been in for a grand total of 5.5 now, spaced out over 4.5 years.
There's nothing wrong with taking 5 years. I took 5 years when I was here.
Graduating in 4.5, spaced over 5.5 years. But the simple fact is, most people right now, with the economy the way it is, this and the next thing, are just wondering where their next meal or their next, car payment or whatever it is coming from. And although we'd like to go ahead and, make a difference through a demonstration this and the next day, it might conflict with the hours that we're working or a class that we're in or maybe, a couple hours that we set aside that are absolutely necessary to pass our next test, et cetera. And I think that that's a big concern and a big confinement that people maybe in the 60s or earlier 70s may not have had to deal with. Now, well, late 70s, early 80s, there was, a recession, so I'm not going to make any statement about that.
Yeah, but you see, in the 60s, obviously, it was more obvious why people had to care, because there was a war going on and their friends were being killed. But there's always something happening that affects your lives. It just might not be as blatant as a war, but things like AIDS, things like foreign policy and domestic policy as well. It might not be as exciting as blood and guts war that can affect you personally, But it's just as important, and it, you know, we have to be careful not to ignore it simply because we get caught up in our day-to-day routines. We're always going to get caught up in day-to-day routines. The important thing is to know how to divide time. Sometimes you do have to make a sacrifice. You might even have to fail a course now and then, but you'll learn something much more than you ever will in the course. And I know that's difficult. I know that's difficult for people to manage to do, but it is important.
Yeah, I would definitely, I would agree with you on that point. I think it really is. I think it's a point well made. And it's still, I mean, it's hard for me to say, yeah, well, I'm going to, you know, flunk this test ahead of me to stand up and make a demonstration. Because chances are, I know it sounds like a cop-out, I know it sounds bad, but considering I'm paying, whatever, it's $4,000 a semester here to go to school, if there's a demonstration and that's going to conflict with an hour that I need before a test, chances are I'm going to go study for that test. And, I mean, be it wrong, be it whatever it is. I mean, right now, if I flunk, you know, say, for example, I flunk that test and that brings my GPA down further, further on down the line, I mean, the bottom line is a job, and everyone is looking for a job, and right now it's a real bitch to get one.
Well, let me just confide in you a little secret here. Nobody cares about your GPA after you get out of here, well, at least not in the real world. Maybe grad schools will.
Okay, well, say for example you're not a student like me who's, you know, whatever, doing better in school. Say you're a student who is borderline dropping out, you know, somebody who's a little more on the line right there.
Okay.
They're going to be in there studying because, you know, their entire future may possibly depend on that, you know, whether they get this degree or whether they don't. And although it's noble to, you know, put your, you know, your grades up for a cause to one degree or another, ultimately, you know, 2 years down the road, if you're on the friggin' welfare system in this country, you know, over that issue, it's really not helping you, and it's really not helping out the other people in this country either, you know?
But you see, you could use that logic to excuse not getting involved in anything on campus other than going to classes. And the thing is, the thing I learned from going here is that school is so much more than just classes. I mean, I got involved with the radio station here. I got involved with environmental movements, which we don't seem to have any of on campus now. And all kinds of other things that were happening, because there was always something happening. And yeah, it made things real difficult. Yeah, that's why I stayed for 5 years, actually. But I'm so glad I did, because if I had just come here and taken my courses and left, God knows where I'd be now. You know, I wouldn't be doing anything interesting, I don't think. I'd probably have a 9-to-5 job someplace, and I wouldn't really feel like I got anything out of this place. I'd probably forget all about it.
Again, I'm going to have to agree with you on that point again, because, you know, there is a lot more to these universities. Simply, I don't want you to think that I'm thinking I'm promoting, you know, just going here and getting grades, whatever.
Right.
I'm involved in one of the Greek organizations. And don't immediately label me as a fascist, because Greek life today is a lot different than it used to be. But I am involved in one of the Greek organizations, and quite frankly, you know, like it or not, we are a large... we are a huge, not even large, a gigantic section of the social life here at this campus. We do a lot for the campus, and, you know, whether it be charity, social, etc. We're a large reason why you may happen to see a lot of cars on campus during the weekends. Because I know I'm one of the people at this campus who lives upstate, and when I first came down here, there was no life going on whatsoever on the weekends. That was fall of '89. And now, you know, actually there are some things going on. I mean, places like you mentioned, the bridge, which, yeah, albeit it is really weak as compared to what it used to be, from what other, you know, students have told me in the past. At least it is surviving, whereas it never used to. And there are things for people to do, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, years ago there were all kinds of student-run businesses. Every single building had something different. And that's all gone now.
I know. I understand. As I understand it, there used to be, I lived in Langmuir, Taylor, and Kelly. As I understand it, in G&H Quad, there used to be a bar at the end of almost every hall.
That's right. There was the James Pub and the Benedict Saloon, Baby Joey's, and something in Irving.
I really wish that was still around, although I understand a large problem with that was the raising of the drinking age.
Well, yeah, that did obviously affect bars, but... you know, even the graduate student organization lost its bar, and most of them are over 21.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was a really nice place.
Yeah, that's a problem a lot of us are beginning to worry about now as we get a little bit older, too. I mean, I'm going to be senior next semester, and you know, we see the demonstrations by the GSEU, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of organizations like that, and, you know, petitioning for contracts, et cetera. And one thing that I have noticed among students here is, honestly, you know, although I do say that, you know, I said before that a lot of us are busy, the one thing that the teachers and administrative heads have said around here is that students just don't do a damn thing around here until something directly confronts them in a large way.
Right.
And then do they get up off their ass to do anything about it. I think that's true to a large degree. I mean, I think it's forced upon us by the university. But like you said, you know, if students were a little more active around the campus, I think it'd be a much better place to go to school here.
Yeah, and you know, just if I could offer just a just a word of advice to people, it's, you know, playing it safe might seem like the right thing to do most of the time, and probably is, but you know, you never really experience life by always playing it safe. Sometimes you have to take a chance. Sometimes you have to do something that doesn't really seem like the right thing to do, you know, from a logical point of view, but you just feel in your gut that it needs to be done. And the worst thing that can happen is that you're wrong. Okay, there'll be a price to pay, but you'll survive. You'll learn, and you'll remember it for the rest of your life. And it won't be a bad memory, I don't think.
That's for damn sure. And I mean, worst case scenario, even if it's a complete blunder, I mean, Jesus, how long until you're out of this place? You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, I used to think that about being here in the first place. I used to think, you know, I've made a mistake even coming here. But it wasn't so much the classes that convinced me that I hadn't made a mistake. It's becoming involved with all the different things that were happening and feeling like I was making a difference. And you don't really feel like you're making a difference in a class. You really don't. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go to classes. Not obviously not. I'm just saying that there's so much more to university than just classes. And you'll feel like you're a part of things if you become involved in something else that's a bit more social. And that's really where it stands. You know, you have to get more involved and feel like your presence means something. And that's what a university is really all about. Because it's a lot harder to do that once you get out of here. You can't just go someplace and start something and expect people to show you the ropes. I mean, here you can see what it's like to you know, to organize. Well, you can't organize an anti-nuclear demonstration anymore because Shoreham closed down. Well, I guess you can go out of state or something. But you know, there's all kinds of other things that need to be done. All kinds of environmental issues, for instance. All kinds of social issues. And you know, just being aware of them all. I mean, you learn so much. You really do, about what's going on in the world.
Yeah, that's the truth. And like you said, you know, when you look at this school, you know, there's not a whole lot there for the students. I mean, it's just basically, I mean, I'll be the first to say it's not the most beautiful school around. It's not the cleanest, et cetera.
I'll be the second then.
But if you actually, you know, if you get your hands in there and you get a little dirty and have a good time, you know, whatever your niche may be, whether it be the student newspaper, whether it be a sports team, whether it be Greek Life, whether it be one of the various organizations, NYPERG, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't honestly make an effort to get out there and do it, you know, you're not going to have a good time at the school. And I know people who've come here and stayed for, you know, two semesters and split, but
right.
Those people are the same people that stayed in their room every night, you know, and didn't do a damn thing.
Right, same thing with commuter students that just come here and leave every day, you know. I mean,
absolutely. I really wish that the commuter students would stay. And I know that they feel sometimes, you know, alienated to one degree or another. It's not that we don't want them here. We do want them here. It's just that we have this great opinion and great feeling of them because to one degree or another, it's true. They come, they get on the bus, they go to class, and they split, you know?
Right. Right, exactly. Listen, sir, thank you very much for your call. It's been very enlightening, and I hope things work out for you.
All right, you too.
All right, take care.
Peace.
I don't know why they call it Greek Life. You know, I mean, I know why they call it Greek Life, because of the Greek things on the fraternity, but it just seems kind of weird, you know, because they're not Greek, you know, and Greek people... That's where the true Greek life is. We have a Greek show on this radio station.
That's right, 30 minutes. 30 minutes.
No, I don't think the people in the fraternities gather around on Sunday afternoons and listen to the Greek show here on USB. I just don't think that's true.
Okay.
But if you're really experiencing Greek life, you would feel compelled to do that.
Hmm. Have a nice baklava.
Yeah. You know, I had a really nice baklava the other day.
Where?
Like, all right, across the street, across the tracks. I can't tell you the exact name of the place.
I know it.
But there's a place across the tracks that has great baklava, and that's just all I have to say about this.
It's awesome.
They're not open now, damn it. I shouldn't talk about this, because now I want to get one. No, there's other places, too. I mean, you have to look around for these places, because we're not going to give you brand names, but, I mean, there's this Indian place that opened up nearby, you know, and there's some Mediterranean type of place. There's another Greek place opening up someplace. There's all kinds of, like, interesting ethnic things that are coming into
being. Off-campus, of course.
Well, yeah, of course, off-campus.
Heaven
but
forbid
not too
open.
Far off-campus. And the thing is, it makes life a bit more interesting, because there's more diversity, you know. There's even a place nearby that has Russian food, which I think is amazing.
Now, you've got to tell me off mic where that is.
Yeah, off mic, I'll tell you.
Okay.
And,
fair enough.
Yeah. Other people, you'll just have to fend for yourself and find these places. But they're out there. You just got to look for them. It involves a little bit of, you know...
Look at that phone line.
Looking around. Yeah, let's go back to the phones, because people have been waiting. Good evening, you're on. You know, they waited half an hour just to hang up. Isn't that great? Good evening, you're on.
Hey, Eric, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt. Wait a minute. Matt here, who runs the sports section, is, I'm sure, going to have a strong opinion on the stadium here.
He might knock out all the other callers.
Okay, well, we're gonna give you the floor here, and stand back.
Actually, it's not the stadium that I'm calling about.
Oh, it's not? Okay, well, we don't have to talk about that.
You know a good place for baklava?
No, I usually rely on you for those things.
Yeah, he does.
So, of course, you can't announce that on the air unless they pay us to.
That's true. Maybe they will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, talk to them next time you go in.
They know our address.
Well, oh, the address?
Yeah, our address.
Oh, we can give that on the air.
Yeah, WUSB...
Stony at Stony Brook,
right,
Stony Brook,
it.
New York, 11794.
Yeah, for one moment I forgot where I was. Thank you, man. Now, what's on your mind?
Okay, I noticed the person before me was virtually apologizing for the lack of activism in the student body these days, and I have to wonder... exactly how good the economic realities were for those protesting in the 60s. I don't think the standard of living was too high among most of the protesters.
No way.
Yeah, I think Jim agrees with you, and I know I do.
Yeah, I, as a matter of fact, even as recently as 10 years ago, I don't think the standard of living was so high. That's the excuse that's going around right now, and I don't think it's so valid. As far as a parking fee is concerned, there is one very easy way to make sure that this thing doesn't get through and other little irritating things on campus don't get through.
Well, now wait, the parking fee already went through several years ago, didn't it?
Parking fee?
Didn't it?
I'm not a tuition-paying student
anymore. People have to pay.
No one's ever hit me up for it.
Well, people have to pay for those little stickers, I thought. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought people...
That's a couple of bucks, and they can just say, that's just what it costs us to make them.
Yeah, but you see, that was the whole point. It was only a couple of bucks, but people were you know, protesting outside the administration building saying that they didn't want to pay this couple of bucks.
Mm.
You know? Yeah, it was only a couple of bucks, but it got people angry.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about much higher than that now.
Yeah. Well, what's your plan?
Well, the plan is, if you think parking is a problem on campus, there's very one very simple thing. Just don't let them enforce the existing parking rules.
Uh-huh.
Don't pay the tickets.
Well, you see, okay, that can be a problem. I can speak from personal experience from this.
I mean, they'll hold your degree back. That's true. But those of you who do not have degrees at stake, just don't pay them.
Now, here's the rule, okay? For everybody out there that has always wondered about parking tickets, here's how it works, at least last time I checked the rules. You can get 3 tickets from a single entity within 18 months. And on the 3rd ticket, that is when they can withhold your actual car registration from the state of New York. 3 tickets. Now, you can get 1 ticket, you can get 2 tickets, and not have a problem with the state of New York. And you can get 2 tickets, wait another 18 months, and then get a 3rd ticket, and it doesn't matter, because they have to be 3 within 18 months from the same entity, meaning the public safety here on campus, Suffolk County Police, Oldfield Police, Belterre Police, whatever. It has to be from the same entity. Now, they can, of course, on 1 ticket, they can take it out of your paycheck if you get paid here at Stony Brook. They can withhold your degree. They can do all kinds of things if you're dependent on the State University at Stony Brook in any way. So that's pretty much how it works out.
Mm. Or then there's the other way.
Which is?
And you can fight every ticket you get. You obviously take them to hear the hearing officer.
Uh-huh.
And that will clog up the process so badly that they won't get any money until these things are settled, and they'll never be able to sell them all.
You know, I used to write for both of the papers here on campus. And I remember I wrote one article years ago that was a very tongue-in-cheek look at the whole way the traffic appeals business works here on campus.
Was that with the Stony Brook Press? Because I remember something like that was written back in the mid-'80s.
I think it was either that or Statesman. I'm not sure which. I think it was Statesman, where I kind of equated the whole thing to a course, you know, Parking 101.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was kind of, well, I guess, you know, brutal in my assessment, because that's just, you know, the way you tend to be when you're satirical. And I remember there came a time where I had to appeal a parking ticket, you know, go straight into the to the appealing officer. And as I was sitting down in his office, I got this incredible feeling of dread when I saw pasted up there on the wall that very article with my name on it. And obviously, he knew who I was, and I'm sure I didn't have much appreciation for that particular article. And his decision proved me right. But
you probably would have reached that decision anyway, because it's known to be a bit of a kangaroo court.
They tend to do that. And, you know, there's always a line in the letter that you get from the appeals officer that says, please be advised that the appeals officer has ruled to deny your appeal. I think they're required to say that in every letter. I mean, even when they, like, invite you to parties and things, they have to say that.
Yeah.
So it's just required.
But it's true. If you send back every parking ticket you contest every parking ticket that they write, mm-hmm. and they are writing them in increasing volume, because everybody knows the purpose for parking regulations on any entity is not to put order into the parking system. It is to collect revenue.
Right.
And this university has been using it as a primary source of revenue since Albany saw fit to cut their budgets.
You know, I saw them booting a car the other day. You know?
Oh, that, yeah.
That is something. I mean, that's new. They didn't used to do that. Booting cars. That's where they disable you somehow.
Yeah.
And there's a big sign on it saying it's illegal to tamper with this device. If you hurt our booting device, which is currently hurting your car, you'll be in even more trouble. It's just so absurd. I mean, how would you feel if you came out and then this incredible monster type thing is enveloping your car and preventing you from driving away, and it's saying, leave me alone, don't touch me, or I'll be even madder at you.
Well, there, then you just go look for a blowtorch.
Yeah, it's, I've heard people swear they were going to do that, and I don't know, but I'm sure there's all kinds of other ways to disable that thing.
Yeah, but the words of the immortal Mitch Cohen. What's he been doing lately?
I don't
anyway?
Know. You see, this campus needs Mitch
action.
Cohen. Yeah, he hasn't been. What were his immortal words?
Take direct action.
Uh huh.
Which you mean, do anything, get in the way. I mean, if you see somebody taking a car, you know, lay down on the hood, make sure he doesn't put the ticket on, something like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And if you get run over, you'll be a martyr and you'll inspire 50 more people. And that's how it works, you know.
That was a little bit of a problem with old Mitch's logic.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes everybody's got a couple of holes there, but, you know.
Yeah, but the activism, as far as the students are concerned, they do, over the past few years, they have allowed administration to walk all over them in many ways.
Absolutely.
But you know what they also often fail to realize? And this I realized as an undergrad there were anti-apartheid protests going through the classes, and the professors were actually encouraging people to join. Maybe they just wanted to talk to a smaller class, I don't know. But the faculty, for the most part, if the students have a legitimate cause, as in many of the things we've cited so far, they are fairly legitimate, then go right ahead. They will probably back you up in many cases.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a professor will respect somebody a lot more who proves his case rather than somebody who just follows what everybody else does. Absolutely. It might not seem that way at first. It might take a little while, but there's no question about that. Not just a professor, but anybody in the academic world will respect somebody infinitely that takes a stand, especially if it's an unpopular stand, and they believe in what they're saying.
Or in the case of a lot of things going on at Stony Brook, they're for it too, but there's not a lot they can do. So if the students start getting some steam going, then it helps them too.
Uh-huh.
Because the parking problem affects everybody, faculty, staff, and students.
That's true. Yeah, although, you know, I don't want to think that parking is the worst problem here on campus.
No, it isn't,
so many other
it's a start.
Things. It is a start, yes. All right, Matt, we're going to get on some other calls. We do have a few of them here.
Okay, and also, one other thing. One thing that's good about the show like Brain Damage, it can function as a clearinghouse if some student activism does come back to life here. And those of you who are interested in protesting various things that are going on the Stony Brook campus, this is the best place to air them out.
Not just Brain Damage, but the entire radio station. That's what we're here for.
That's right.
And you can use us for all we're worth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks again, Matt. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, see ya.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Good evening, you're on. Good evening, you're on.
Yeah, just one quick question.
Yeah.
And regarding the parking problem.
Yeah.
The big problem with the parking problem is this. Once you get one ticket, if you don't pay it within 60 days, they boot your car.
One ticket?
One. If you don't pay it within 60 days, they will boot your car.
That's incredible. I can't believe that. One, I mean, I've never heard of anybody booting a car for one. In the city, they do it for, like, you know, a couple of hundred bucks.
Exactly. That's the way it used to be. I mean, like, I know when I was a freshman here, like I said, I lived upstate. And when I came down here, I had to have my car with me. I ran up, in one semester, $500 in tickets.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they didn't boot my car. Now they've booted, they've sent the ticket down, I'm sorry, the limit down to one ticket if it goes unpaid for 60 days. Then they can boot your car.
Now, I have to wonder, how many boots do they have on campus?
I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. If they booted my car, I'd be completely screwed because I wouldn't be able to go to my job. I wouldn't be able to do anything. The other thing they do, which is even more damaging as far as I'm concerned, is if you have a ticket outstanding,
uh-huh.
I don't care if it's like 7 days outstanding or 7 months,
uh-huh.
they block you from registering for classes.
That is that's definitely a problem. But look at the result of that. Look at what you wind up doing. You wind up submitting. You wind up doing exactly what it is they want you to do because of that pressure. And I think this boot is kind of a symbol as to how things have gone here in the 90s. That's the pressure that is applied to students in whatever form, whether it be, you know, mandatory meal plan, closing of bars and coffee houses, fees on buses, what have you. The thing is, it's too inconvenient to speak out against it, so you submit.
No, we did speak out against it. As a matter of fact, we got a public attorney when the boot first started coming out. We said, this is bullshit. You can't boot our cars because it's taking away our personal property. This happened spring of 90. And we took them to court. And what happened was New York came right back against us and said, no, it's constitutional. Excuse me.
Well, the thing is, you know, there are two ways of dealing with something. One is to take it to court where, you could win or you could lose. And the other, which works either way, is when you have a lot of people that demonstrate against something. If you had 1,000 people surrounding the administration building demanding that they stop doing this, which is really unfair, one parking ticket is absurd. I think administration would see the light and would stop doing this. And you just need a bunch of angry people. And believe me, they do listen when that happens. That's how Eastern Europe fell. You know, it wasn't through the court of law. It was through people power.
I think they used to listen. I just don't think they give a damn anymore. And I think that their lack of care creates a lack of care on the part of the students. And I think that's where you get that whole, you know, this whole, everyone says, oh, you know, Jesus, when I was your age, you know, if they did anything, we'd be out fighting in the streets about it and making barricades and this and the next thing. And people, members of my own, I guess if you want to call my generation today, just don't give a damn. They want to put in their 4 hours and they want to, or their 4 years here and they want to get out because they're so fed up with the bureaucratic BS here. I know everyone says, okay, fine. If you want to take, you want to take that approach to it, you know, the who gives a damn approach, you know, fine. Go ahead, do it, and you're going to get walked all over and whatever.
Let me tell you one thing, okay, and this can be kind of my final word on the subject. There is nothing that compares, nothing that is better than the feeling of being together with a bunch of people and standing up for what you believe in and knowing that you risk getting into trouble for doing this, but also knowing that you're standing true to your beliefs and that you're with a bunch of people that agree with you and believe in you. And that's something that stays with you for the rest of your life. And if you have the opportunity to do that, go for it.
I would love to. The problem is this. I mean, a lot of kids that I go to school with here, I mean, for example, me, I'm out on my own, okay?
Uh-huh.
Everything I got, you know, whatever it may be, is something that came from me, from my own work. Now, I don't have anyone to back me up. Say we go out and we do this, you know, say we protest them booting public safety. Actually, it's not even public safety. It's this kind of ghost entity they have, the traffic department.
Yeah, that's a new one, yeah.
That's great. They're not responsible to anyone.
And they hire students, too.
By the way, they make the most money of any department on campus.
Uh-huh.
They make a lot of money. Say we go out and we protest this. Now, say I get in the way and I quote-unquote obstruct justice. I go to jail, and I have to pay for a lawyer, I have to pay for fees, all this thing. I don't have money to do that. Technically, I'd be going, into the red to do that.
Yeah, but you see, if there's 50 of you doing that, it suddenly doesn't work the same way.
Find all of us, and then they keep us from registering. I can't continue with my education. And, you know, basically I'm, you know, out and out screwed. I've put in, what, you know, whatever it is, 3 years here, 4 years here for nothing.
Right.
I have no degree to show for it. I have no money to do this. I mean, if I had the money, okay, say, for example, if I had, you know, the rich parent who was willing to back me up or, you know, as a matter of fact, I do happen to have a rich parent, but they don't back me up. say I had... Say I had, you know, some benefactor who was willing to back me up on that, that'd be great. But, you know, chances are these days either A, kids don't have parents that will back them up, or B, the parents just don't want to back them up to begin with. And, I mean, to do that social activism, that costs money.
Let me just tell you one thing, okay? Back in the late 70s, I went through kind of a similar situation. This is in regards to the nuclear plant at Shoreham, which I was, you know, dead set against.
I know, sure.
Yeah. And we kind of faced the same problem because we knew we were going to participate in something called civil disobedience. It was a massive demonstration, but there was also a bunch of us that were going to climb the fence. And, you know, we knew we'd probably get arrested for doing that. But it was a statement that had to be made. It turned out that something like 600 of us did that. And, of course, we all got arrested and taken to jail. But... because there are so many of us, because we were so sincere, because, you know, everybody behaved themselves and tried to get their feelings out, we didn't have to worry about hiring expensive lawyers. We didn't have to worry about going to prison or serving time or anything like that. We were treated very nicely by the authorities. They understood why we were doing what we did. And all charges were dropped against everybody within a couple of months. And eventually, we even won the fight, and we got the place closed down. But the place probably would never have closed down were it not for things like that. So, yeah, it can be a risk sometimes, but if you really believe in it and you really think you can win, you know, it's worth taking that chance. I mean, I would have, you know, even if we had lost, I still think it would have been worth it because at least I would have been able to live with myself and know that I did everything I could. But, you know, we're kind of out of time, so we're going to have to stop here.
All right.
All right, but thanks very much for calling and sharing your opinions.
Okay.
Boy, this has been a busy show. We've been talking about football stadiums and parking tickets and nuclear power plants and all kinds of things. I hate this classical music. Ugh. Probably get in trouble for saying that, but that's just the way it is. Spiny.
Protest it.
Ooh. Protest. How would you go about protesting classical music? I don't know.
Garsh.
I can't say that on the air.
Garsh?
Don't say it again when I say he can't say it on the air.
Well,
okay?
You didn't define what I can't say.
It's on that list over there on the wall.
Oh, okay. I'll look at it later. Sorry.
George Carlin list.
Carver-y-ch.
All right. We're out of here. Kenyon's up next with the Further Sense, right?
Furthest.
That's what I said. Furthest Sense. What, you think I said the Further Sense? No, I said the Furthest Sense.
Farthest.
Okay? No, it's Furthest, right? Furthest, not Farthest?
Furthest.
Look, we can have a big discussion about this, too, but I think it's the Further Sense.
You're all sounding farther away.
I'm getting far away as soon as I can. I want to thank everybody for calling in, and we'll be back again hopefully next week. And hopefully there won't be any more nasty letters from chancellors and things like that. This is Eric. I'll see you next week. Stay awake. Be good. Have fun. Bye. Thank you.